Take your seats, kids. You're ready to go. Wow. You know, something that was said in communion absolutely spun my head out. Reading on that rendition of Jesus being a high priest after the order of Melchizedek, it says that a man is a priest until he dies. And Jesus died and was made a great high priest. You ever seen that before? Isn't that incredible that we have a mediator? A priest is actually a mediator between God and man. And when you look at Moses, every time the children of Israel, God wanted to wipe him out, Moses would run before God at the tabernacle there. God, you can't do that to them. You can't. You know, he's going to judge them. He's going to wipe them out. He's going to do things. Moses acted as an incredible priest in between the people and God. And we have Jesus. Wow. Jesus, who didn't die and lose priesthood like the natural man. He died, rose again, and he was made a great high priest for each one of us. And ever, the Bible tells us, he lives ever, forever. Your goodness is forever. Your priesthood is forever. Forever he lives to make intercession for us. Isn't that amazing? He's constantly there on our behalf. Man, I just can't believe that. It's amazing. It's just beyond my natural comprehension that every one of us has one high priest before the Father on our behalf. I've got his attention at the moment. Just nick off. No, he's amazing how he can have all of our attention for every person on this planet at one time. That's the power of God's Holy Spirit. Oh, man. It's just such an awesome, amazing insight. Can I get these handed out? Yeah, okay, I can give you something to do. Hand one to everyone, thanks. You know, there's a scripture in... I'll go back to what I said last week. And talking last week about the experience I went through and the challenges it was to me and so forth, etc. If you haven't heard it, man, you've got to listen to it. You won't be able to see the pictures, unfortunately, the before and after scans that showed the miracle of God. But the amazing part about what I spoke on was it's a revelation we need to get for ourselves. I don't know how many Christians I speak to. Yeah, I know God loves me. But it's no further than Jesus loves me, this I know. They haven't got a personal revelation of the love of God. They know God's good, but do they have a personal revelation, thank you, of God's goodness? Do they have a personal revelation of his mercy being new every morning? Do they have a revelation that they've got from God's word by getting into that and fully beginning to see that and the lights go on? Doesn't happen overnight. It doesn't happen just by reading a verse once. It doesn't happen by reading a verse even 20 times. It happens because the Holy Spirit takes those written words on the pages of God's word and sees our heart and knows when we're ready and when we're open to him, and the lights go on, is all I can say. There's so many times I've read scriptures over and over and over, and I think, yeah, it's great. And then that's such a good verse. And then one day God just turns the neon signs on that verse, and it says so much more than I could ever see in the natural. My mind understands it one way, but then my heart gets hold of it. And that's a revelation when it goes from here to here. You know, a lot of people can quote scriptures, but they're up here. They're not really real to them. They're not down here. They're not down where they know it belongs to me. They don't know that the life of God is theirs to enjoy and to have in abundance. Jesus said, I came to give you life. I'm born again. I got the life of God. No, and that you might have it more abundantly. What's abundance? It's in its fullness. It's in its completeness. It's in its wholeness. and being just saved and going to heaven is most people's experience. But boy, oh boy, you can live heaven here on earth now. We can walk in the righteousness of God. We can walk complete, made whole, perfect, and upright in Him. Why? Because that's what He made us to be in Christ Jesus. It's amazing. It is amazing. And we've got to set aside the things. The Bible tells us, lay aside everything that ensnares us and is really easily traps us or ensnares us. There's things in our lives that we just take for granted. We think, oh yeah, that's just me. That's the way I live. That's the way I do things. That's my life. That's the way I think. That's the way I speak. That's the way I do this and do that. And you don't know, but you're leaving yourself in a vacuum spiritually because you're not allowing the Spirit of God to change you from the inside out. Because when you change on the inside, the outside responds. And the response is a change in our demeanor. And the Spirit of God won't shine through a dirty vessel. Paint your lampshades black and say, shine as bright as you can. And that's sometimes how we would be if we're not giving ourselves fully to God for our lives to allow His light to shine through us. And we're all guilty of it. You know, it's just, we're humans. But we walk on, and like Paul said, not as though I either already I'd attained or either were already perfect. He didn't claim perfection. He didn't claim to have made it. He didn't claim to have been some super spiritual giant who never had another issue or another problem. But he said, I press toward the mark. I keep pushing on. I keep pushing on. If I fall over, I get up and go again. I keep pressing on. God puts His finger on something in my life, and I've got to go, yes, Lord. I recognize that, and I repent, and I turn from that in the name of Jesus to allow Your life, Your cleansing, and Your wholeness to permeate me. And I'm sorry if I've offended You in that area, but I want to walk on in Your fullness, in Your wholeness, and in Your glory to be a representative of Christ in every way that I can. Man, is that my heart? Wow, is that your heart? It's something we need to take ownership and responsibility for. And we need to take ownership of God's word when the lights go on and what belongs to us. Like I said with my eye, when I first diagnosed, I went home and I was just fully, oh no. And I was saying, God, I need this. And I told you the story last week. But the scripture came to me. If you say and do not doubt in your heart. Man, that heart was not in the place it should have been. There was more doubts than you could think about. It was what if, what if, what if. And then I just said, God, I can't handle that. I cannot have a doubt in my heart. How do I overcome that? And He led me through it. And from that Monday night right through, I never had another doubt, another contradiction. I just knew. You got that confidence in God, the reality that the healing was mine, that healing belonged to me, the healing was paid for, and I was walking it. Didn't see it till Wednesday morning. Didn't feel a thing. Didn't even know when it happened. I just knew it happened. Bless God. Isn't that amazing? I've handed out some papers, and we're going to have a look at a song later on, but if you have a look in the middle two open pages, I want this to be an inspiration to you. I hope I've put it all around the right way and haven't messed up. But we can put it up on the screen as well, especially Ephesians chapter 1 here. You know, when Paul did what he did and he went round the churches and he preached the gospel, I wish they had, like I said, I've said this before, I wish they had video recorders or tape recorders back then. We have no idea really what Paul went out and preached, apart from the fact that he went out and established churches and taught them of the things of God and the revelations of God, and we see parts of it through Paul's writings. But Paul's, the wisdom and the revelation knowledge of God is immense. You can't measure it. And what Paul saw was a percentage of that. I'm going to wreck one of these. So Paul, out of all of the intense revelation of God, he said, because of the abundance of revelation given to me. He had an abundance of revelation. Let's call that the abundance of Paul's revelation. What he preached of it, out of the abundance of his revelation, he probably could only express and preach so much of it. What people understood of what he preached, and I find that this is a bit too much for some instances, because preach things sometimes and you're so alive in you and in God, and then you look at people and they're thinking, don't you get that? So let's give the people a bit of a benefit of the doubt. What they understood of what Paul preached. What they had a revelation of what Paul preached was less than what they understood. What they practiced and put into action of what Paul preached was probably a little less. What Paul wrote to them about and said, you shouldn't be doing this, O foolish Galatians, who have bewitched you and put in corrective measures. So he wrote them some letters about the things they were doing wrong when they did do things anything anyway. What they understood of the letters, or put into practice maybe, of the letters that he wrote them. Let's just say what they understood of his letters, because we don't half understand them half the time anyway. And then what they put into practice of what Paul wrote them the letters about and telling them how to walk in God wasn't worth the paper it's written on. I don't think things have changed. I think sometimes that's probably being generous. Now, I'm being facetious or I'm being realistic, I'm not sure which, but if you've been around the churches as long as I have, that's a generous piece of what I see people putting into practice of what they've heard in all their lives. And it's sad. It's very sad, you know? There was a rally in Melbourne, a really big convention. And people I know went there. They said it was amazing. They heard the most incredible teaching. They heard the most incredible messages and revelations of God's word. And they were excited. They're jumping up and down. They're having an absolute wahoo time, thinking, this is great. And there was a preacher there that was from overseas ministering in that convention. This is here in Melbourne. And they met some people at the convention. And they were just saying, oh, this is such an amazing time, isn't it? And they went, yeah, we've heard it all before. And what do you mean you've heard it all before? Oh, well, we're actually over here visiting our son who lives in Melbourne, but we go to this guy's church all the time. We've heard all that. And it was just a matter-of-fact, blasé, so-what scenario. And I'm like, I know when you come into a revelation and an understanding of God, there's a buzz and there's an excitement, and especially when God just opens stuff up and teaches you things. But why do we allow the excitement of that moment or the revelation to dissipate? Why is it that sometimes you can go to a great Christian convention and it's all wahoo and we're all excited and over the moon and dancing around about it, and we come home to our own church and we go, oh, we're back in church again. You know, it's disgusting, really. It's terrible behavior for Christians not to carry the excitement. We're meant to carry the life of God. And if God pours his life into us, carrying it means exposing it. He said, if you drink of the waters that I shall give, it shall be in you a river springing up. Not sitting on a shelf stagnating or bum on a seat in church stagnating. It's a river springing up into everlasting life. And we have to generate that. We have to continue in it. We need to walk in it constantly. We need to ensure that what God does in us, even though his kindness and his goodness and his mercy is forever, I think we take advantage of his mercy too many times. We need to constantly be a light in the world that we're in. Now, I know some people don't always want to look at the light. In both instances, when I gave the testimony, I came back here to the, Leung around here, Simon Leung, the optician. I said, I need a copy of that scan that you had. What do you want? Ooh, what do you want that for? I said, I want to see the girl that did it. She showed me on that scan where the problem was. I've got the other scan and it's not there. And I said, oh, there must have been a mistake. There was no mistake. I went home that night. My daughter laid hands on me and prayed in the name of Jesus. I must admit I didn't feel a thing instantly, but I went in on Wednesday morning. I had another scan and God had removed it. You know, and off he went into his office, and the girls behind the counter, they're going, do you really believe that? I said, man, I've seen too much of God not to believe it. God is real. I've seen goiters go. I've told you the story. I've disappeared. I've seen people lose weight in the power of God. I've seen other people healed. I've been there when people have jumped out of wheelchairs in conventions and places. I was in the Oral Roberts tent as a kid here in Melbourne when people were getting healed by the in their droves. Man. Whew. You wonder why I get excited? I cannot get past the goodness of God. All my life you've been faithful. All my life you've been so, so good. With every breath that I'm able, I will sing of the goodness of God. I'm not going to shut up. The Bible says if men don't praise the Lord, the stones will cry out. Well, no stone's going to out-praise me. What about you? There's too many mutes in the Christian church, and we need to be stones of praise and rocks of glory, not dead rocks that are crying out because the church won't. God is a God who deserves our praise and he's worthy of it. And if we don't watch out, we just end up with a little bit of what God could have given us in the wisdom and the revelation and the knowledge of him like Paul had in its fullness. If we don't walk in it, it's like a muscle. You don't use it, you lose it. Try hanging up one arm for a while and seeing how strong it is in 6 months, and you go to try and pick up a bottle of milk and you'll probably drop it because you can't hold it. You've got no strength left. And I think a lot of Christians are like, oh, I need a scripture to stand on. You know, I've got a bit of this going on in my life at the moment. Where is one? We need to be full of the word of God. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, not just when you think you need it. I've got to find a scripture for that. There should be flowing out of us rivers of living water, rivers of life. I've wrote this scripture out. If we can have Ephesians 1 up on the overhead, Anthony, thanks. This is just one of the most amazing scriptures and favorite scriptures of mine. When Paul was talking to writing to the Ephesians, giving them one of their little letters. But he was encouraging them. And he said, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. Notice he didn't say, I'm Apostle Paul. He didn't title himself. He was Paul. That's why I'm Ken. That's why I prefer just Ken. I'm Ken, called to be a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, a teacher in his kingdom by the will of God. That's it. To the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus, Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Man, is that just words or is that real? Now, if we're blessed with spiritual blessings, they flow into natural blessings as well, because he provided for us naturally and spiritually, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame in his sight. Wow. So he addresses them what Christ has done and who we are in him. Let's go down to verse 15, please, Anthony. So don't forget, he went to Ephesus and he gave them the gospel of Christ. Then he says, therefore, because of what I've just written, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of my prayers. I love that. That the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ may give you, or the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Here's what Paul's saying. You've got faith in Jesus Christ. You've got love for the saints. You're actually capable. You're actually there. But I'm praying for a spirit of wisdom and revelation. Wow. This is where the lights have to go on in people's lives. They need to get an insight into God and his word by revelation, that the eyes of your understanding, not up here, down here, real understanding is in the spirit, may be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, placed him up there, far above principality, power, dominion, might, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and put all things under his feet, gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that fills all in all. Now, I'll put that on your left-hand page there. That is a reality check, I believe, for us to question whether we know God. How do we stand in the times of battle? How do we stand when things are against us? How do we fight these battles? On the opposite page, I've rewritten it. And this is the way I function and operate with the Word of God. I've often said back in the church here, we need to pray, read the Scriptures. If there's something you don't fully understand or comprehend, you need to take it to the Lord in prayer. Guess who wrote the Word of God? Well, he's the best person to explain it to you. Preachers do a fairly good job sometimes, and sometimes they don't. But I tell you who never fails, the Spirit of God. But you've got to listen to him. The Spirit of truth. Jesus said, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you, lead you into all truth. But if you ain't listening, you get nothing. You've got to be open to the Spirit of God. And so it doesn't matter if it's a verse, a paragraph or a chapter or whatever. Sometimes I'll get stuck on something and I'll look at it and I'll go, there's something in that I'm not seeing, Father. Holy Spirit, you were sent to teach me. I'm open. What is it that I need to learn out of this that I'm not seeing? And then this scripture here, Father, in Jesus' name, I also now have faith in the Lord Jesus, and I know your love for all the saints. I do not cease to give thanks to you and continue to look to you and to know you in my life and prayer. Notice how I've just rephrased and put it in the personal tense. Paul's praying for the church. I'm in response, okay, I need that in my life. I need to know that. I pray and declare that you are the God and Father, if you want to, of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory and will give me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Wow. That the eyes of my understanding are being lightened to know the hope of your calling and the full riches of your glory, which is mine as a saint and child of God. Wow. Now, are you getting a bit of a personal edge to this now? Are you getting something that's making you think, wow, I've really got to get this into my own life? When the battles come, it's no good saying, oh, I need to find something in the... No, it's got to be part and parcel. It's got to be in the here and now. It's got to be the word of Christ dwelling in us richly. And this is one way to get it in there. You can go through any scripture. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Lord Jesus, it says, am I an any man? Yeah, I'm an any man. I fit the bill. That's me. If any man be in Christ, and I'm in Christ because I'm a born-again Christian, old things are passed away. Okay, I'm born again, so I've gone into a whole new lifestyle from what I used to be. Oh, that old life is passed away. Everything I did, every habit I had, every illicit thing I was doing, every drug I took, every bad word I said is passed away, and all things have become new. Okay, God, it's not quite working yet. There's still a few things are hanging around. There's still a few things that are bugging me because they haven't passed away in my life. And I want to get rid of that because I know it's not reflecting your glory. If I'm in Christ and I'm a new creature, old things all have to pass away and all things will be remade new. And man, that type of prayer life in your Word of God, getting hold of things that you know are pertinent and relevant to your state and where you're at the time, need to be prayed out in response to the Word of God. And what I've done there is just given you an example of one scripture that you can read out. And you can do it for yourself. You can take that home and you can go through that. And then you can go to any other part of the Bible and personalize it. Therefore, if Ken be in Christ Jesus, he is a new creature. Ken's old life is passed away. Behold, Ken's life has all become whoo-hoo. Now, do I see it in reality all the time? Nah. This ugly old nature still wants to raise its head. But I have to bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. I have to lay aside the sin that would so easily beset me. You know, I have to cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the life and knowledge of God. Because it's trying to kill it in me. I'm trying to keep it alive and I want to keep excited about it. And so it's so important to have that working in your life on that level. Learn to get hold of the Word of God in a personal relationship, understanding level. Man, if someone teaches you something at school and you don't grasp it, and the teacher says, look, if you're not quite there, come and see me afterwards. We'll have, and people, students line up sometimes or they make appointments and they go and see the teacher and they say, look, what you said, I can't get my head around. Da, 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 da. And the teacher will sit there and explain and show it to you in a way that you can fully grasp it and understand it. Yeah, man, I get it now. And you learn it. Why don't we do that with God? We need to. On the back page, I've written Ephesians chapter 6 out. Finally, my brethren. And we can put this up, Anthony. From verse 10 onwards. Ephesians 6, 10 on. Finally. He's one of these preachers that says finally a few times. You know, finally, my brethren. This is my last thought. But finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Don't do things in your own strength and capacity. Yes, we come to God in our own abilities and strength, but then we realize we're unable and incapable of carrying the life in our own strength. It has to be God in the power of his might. He gives us an armor to put on to stand against the devil's schemes. And Paul wrote somewhere else, we're not ignorant of his devices. We should be fully aware of how Satan attacks, what he does and why he does it, and we can then nullify it and stand against it. Our struggle in this life is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this world's darkness, and against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. And we're talking the atmospheric heaven, which this world is surrounded with. It's not any further out than that. That's where God is. Therefore, take up the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you'll be able to stand your ground, and having done everything, stand. Doesn't say fall back, doesn't say keel over, doesn't say blubber and cry, doesn't say get all weak about it. No, God, you're going to do this, and I'm just wondering why you haven't done it. Because we haven't taken our part. We expect God to be Santa Claus and give us everything we ask for, and it's not the way it works. When we're going to receive from God, we need to take it from the Word, get the promise out of the Word, know it belongs to us, get the revelation of it. Say, Father, I thank you that your life, your healing, your power, whatever you need, your provision is mine. It belongs to me. You've made it available, and I want to walk in that, and I'm standing firm in the name of Jesus. And I know that you will be honorable in my life if I'm honorable to you. There's a faith stand in that. It's not arrogance. It's not blind faith either. It's faith in God and in His Word that was given to us. So we stand fully. The belt of truth around our waist. That's where we have our capacity to stand, by the way, on the truth of God's Word. Wow, incredible. Standing with your feet fitted with the readiness of the gospel of peace. See, the Word of God, everywhere we go, it says your shoes are to be prepared with the gospel of peace. Well, that's where we have our walk and where we are traveling around, sharing and spreading the gospel of the Lord Jesus. Take up the shield of faith. The shield of faith is no way, Satan. You cannot and you will not, because of the name of Jesus and the blood of Jesus on my life. That's a stand of faith that defends all of the enemy's fiery darts and lies and everything else he tries to attack us with. It's so important. I will not capitulate. I will not give in to your temptations. I will not give in to anything that displeases God. And in faith I stand in the name of Jesus. That shield is so important. It's our defense against everything. And we can extinguish all of the devil's devices. The helmet of salvation. Wow. The helmet of salvation absolutely protects our mind and our thinking. But we have to still take a stand, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. That's part of the helmet. Bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. That's part of the helmet. If you ain't wearing it, you can't fight it. You understand what I'm saying there? You can't get into that area where you know that thought wasn't right in Jesus' name. I reject that and I refuse to entertain it. And I cast it out of my mind in the name of Jesus. Wow, you've got your helmet on. Well done. That's exactly how it functions and operates. Just so good. Where are we? And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. See, we don't stand in limboed faith. We fight with the Word of God. The sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. It's our weapon of attack. God's Word tells me that I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. I'm born of the Spirit. I'm washed in the blood. Satan, don't you dare tell me anything that I'm less than that. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. There is no way I'm listening to your lies. I'm not a nobody. I'm not somebody who's defeated, beaten, or knocked around. I'm a child of God, and in Him I stand in the name of Jesus. And you start taking the Word of God, what it says about who we are, and boy, oh boy, You know that you're prepared and ready. You know that you are. It's just such an amazing capacity we have in Christ Jesus. And then it says, this is also part of the armor, pray in the Spirit at all times with every kind of prayer and petition. To this end, stay alert with all perseverance in your prayers and for all saints. Says persevere in your prayers. Persevere doesn't mean pray only when you feel like it. I better go to church and pray on Sunday. No, it's constant. I'm staggered at how many times I'm doing things and I get a thought and I think, oh, hang on a minute, I've been meditating on this and just taking it before God. And there's just so many times I find that God is just there, and I'm even subconsciously, I've trained myself in my spirit to be alert to God. I'm in His presence 24/7. It's a lack of faith to pray, Father, we come into Your presence. Where have You been? Where have You been? I never pray like that. Father, You're a good God. I praise You for Your glory and glorify You for being faithful. I come into His presence. I come to Your throne of grace to find help in times of need. But I'm right there anyway. I'm seated in heavenly places. The throne's just a hand grip away from me. I don't have to worry about the religious nonsense that goes on. And that's true. Churches come together and like on us, and how many churches come together on Sunday? Father, we've come into Your presence. No, we didn't. The presence wasn't there until You brought it in with You, because you're the carrier of it. You know what I mean? If you're not carrying it, don't worry about coming into it, because you ain't got it. Ah, dear. I guess I get a little bit sacrilegious sometimes, but I've got to kill some of these, you know, crazy religious cows people carry around with them. And it's factual and actual that we are who we are in Christ for that very reason, to allow Him to be who He wants to be. We need to get a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him and get excited about Jesus. Yeah, He's well worth it. Well and truly worth it. I want to give you we're going to play a song now, if we've got that there, Anthony, to finish off. We're going to hang around and just have a bit of fellowship. But God is good. And I tell you, no one can tell me He's not. And it's not because I know it here. It's because I've experienced His goodness. I've experienced His faithfulness. I've experienced His healing. I've experienced His power. I experience His presence constantly. I don't have to doubt Him in any way, shape, or form, because it's there and I get buzzed. I mean, I've got natural life to live and things to do as well, and I get cranky over things and things might go wrong sometimes, but it doesn't take me out of God's presence. In fact, that's when I need it the most. Is that right? So praise God. Have a listen to this amazing song.
Come on, lift your hands. cross still stands, the blood still flows, the work is finished, and hell still knows that the grave is still empty, the stone is still.
I pray each and every one of us will grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. I declare it over every life in this place today. I pray, Lord, we will continue to grow in the spirit of wisdom and the revelation and the knowledge of Him. That Holy Spirit, You will open the Word to us and teach us and guide and lead us as we open ourselves to You. To be willing to learn, to be willing to grow in Your Word, to allow that Word to dwell in us richly. We'd want to know it richly. We want to know it in its reality. We want to know it in its purpose. We want to know it in a way that it is life to us and health to all our flesh. And in every way, shape, and form, that Word is a powerful two-edged sword coming out of our mouths and alive in our hearts. And I pray the reality and the revelation of Christ would continue to be revealed in and through us and causing us to come closer to You, to be Your reflection in a greater measure in this world and in every part of our lives. And I pray and ask it in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.